Hello, everyone, and welcome to For the Girls. This is Tiggy, and while I was in Montreal for the Canadian Grand Prix, I had the incredible pleasure of sitting down with Alex Albon of Williams. Alex has been in F1 since 2019 when he started with Toro Rosso and then spent several years at Red Bull. He has since taken on an incredible leadership role at Williams, recently signed a multi-year extension with the team. He's a UK and Thai national. He races under the Thai flag, and he is also just one of the nicest, most down-to-earth people in the F1 world. So hope you all enjoy this conversation. It is also available as a video interview on YouTube if that is more your speed. But let us know what you think and enjoy. Alex.
Hello.
Welcome to Montreal. How are you feeling?
Thank you very much. Good. I got here last night.
Yeah.
It's been nice. It's a nice kind of jet lag. So you wake up at like 5 a.m. and you feel like super productive.
And you're fresh off your first point, so you're feeling good and re-signing.
Vibes are good right now.
Yeah, vibes are very good. So congrats on re-signing with Williams. I'm glad that there were no stingrays harmed in the signing of your contract.
True. Yes. Yeah, that's very true. Sounds weird out of context. I mean, it's still weird in context, but I was on the way to, there's a big thing in the Cayman Islands to kiss stingrays. It's supposed to be 7 years of good luck. That's like, that's what they say.
Well, we hope that for you.
Exactly. And I was interrupted like mid-drive to the destination because they needed the contract signed. So stopped off. Had it printed out, signed the documents, and carried on my journey. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations. And on a more serious note, I mean, as one of the hottest commodities on the 2025 driver market, this is a big vote of confidence in Williams and in the team's future. So what gave you that confidence to re-sign, and what are you looking forward to?
Yeah, exactly. I think more than anything, it was just the belief in the process and the plan that Williams are on. I feel like if you look at where we are, unfortunately it's not really, I don't think, as reflective as the ambitions and the processes that are being done behind the scenes. I feel like James has been super honest, very straight with me around where we've been this year, why we've been there this year, and what are we doing to not be in the same position. But also the fact is with all the changes being made behind the scenes, we've had to take a bit of a setback in some ways. And that's kind of explaining a little bit of what's going on at the start of the year. But we're finding our feet. As you said, you know, we scored the points in Monaco, so we're kind of getting back to where we should be.
Yeah, and you've had a lot of experience in F1, you know, starting in Toro Rosso in 2019, being at Red Bull for many years. What's it like taking on more of a leadership role at Williams?
I love it. I feel like it's almost a natural segue just because you're getting more experience as a driver. I think when you first start off, you don't actually know what you really need or want.
Yeah.
You don't know who you are as well. You're quite immature as a human being, never mind just the racing side of it. So as time has gone on, it's not like a... you are now team leader, you know, it's not like a job title that you wear, but it's more that you just become that, and you become a part of the process of this journey.
Yeah. And you mentioned James Vowles. So from the outside, we love his transparency, his leadership style. What's it like working with him? What's your relationship like, and how is that different from other team principals you've had?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I guess you can see that when you hear his voice. Yeah. He's very very smart, kind of makes you feel a little bit dumb in some ways.
He's an engineering brain.
Exactly. And that's very true. So I think he's very different to most team principals. When you think about the ones that are in Formula One, he's much more on kind of like the engineering, technical side. And that's exactly what Williams need, because when you think about where we are and where we want to be, we need that leadership and we need that guidance. And him coming from Mercedes has been hugely beneficial. And I know there's some short-term gains that he did last year, but to really, you know, get us to a level where we can compete at the top, there's a lot of things that need to be changed, which are much longer term. And that's kind of why it's a long-term contract, because I do want to see the fruits of this journey.
No, it takes a lot of time, and I think that's something that fans, you know, don't necessarily understand from the outside.
It's just, I'll give you an example. Just like drivers are on contracts, obviously everyone is engineers, aerodynamicists, whoever it may be, and they're all got gardening leaves, and you get the right person, you find the perfect person for the job, you've got to wait 7-8 months to get him. He's got to then start working the team, and then he's got to start employing the people that he wants in that area of his role. it's already a year and a half, 2 years. So it does take time, yeah.
And there are whispers that there may be a Thailand race sooner rather than later. Yeah. So my family used to live in Thailand, so that would be very exciting for me. But yeah. I can't imagine, as a Thai national racing under the Thai flag, what that means for you. What would that mean?
I will be very biased. and I, of course, I want it to happen. Yeah. There's a lot of countries now fighting for these spots on the calendar. I think it's one of them touchy subjects, which obviously gets a very divided opinion around street tracks and racetracks and old tracks and new tracks and all this kind of thing. But I ignore all that because it's Thailand. And I think it will be amazing for the country. And you know, Formula One is growing a lot. You really see that. Every time I go there, it seems just to grow, and it's amazing to see. I really want to be, if it can happen, I really want to be a part of that. And even now, you know, we are in talks and seeing how can I really, if there's a way, I will do what I can to try and get this on the map and make it work. So, you know, the Prime Minister, he was at Imola and he's had meetings and whatnot. So, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I'm certainly rooting for that. Yeah. How do you feel like your Thai nationality and your Thai heritage has played a role in your motorsport career?
It's been unique. So if you think about Thailand and motorsport, they don't really go hand in hand too much. I would say it's more so two-wheeled motorsports is where Thailand's maybe a little bit more popular in. They have a MotoGP race in Buriram, which is north of Bangkok. But for the most part, it is not that well known. What it's helped me with is really be able to differentiate myself from other people as well. So I've been fully supported by Thai people, by Thai sponsors my whole life, and it's really been able to set me apart. And unfortunately, right now, the growth, well, at least when I was racing, it was very hard to have this base where you could really build your skills necessary to become a kind of a Formula One kind of skilled driver. You had to go to Europe and you had to race against European drivers for the most part when you were a teenager. I want to try and see that, look at that space and see what I can do to try to bridge that gap, because I think at the minute, you can imagine if you do that, it's a huge expense. You see kids now, they have to live at 12, 13 years old with their families in Europe just to try to make
so
the dream
happen. So much sacrifice.
A huge amount. So let's see. I think that's part of, I'm hoping this kind of very early project of what can I do to be a part of this possibility.
Yeah. Well, the country is lucky to have you as a spokesperson and as a representative. So we're in Montreal. Congrats again on your first points of the season in Monaco. Can we be excited for hopefully many more to come this season?
I mean, I'm more a pessimist than an optimist. But I don't see why not. In some ways, I think Canada last year was a great track for us. It's quite similar in some ways to Monaco, just being bumpy, low speed kind of circuit, which was something which we liked in Monaco. The main thing for us, which has been a big talking point about our car, is the weight. The car's heavy. It needs to be on a diet, but it will take a bit of time for that to happen. And unfortunately for us, it just seems like Montreal it's quite penalizing to be heavy around it. So let's see.
Okay, well, we're thinking the best for you.
Thank you.
So one more question before we jump into some quick rapid fire, but we have to talk about your grandma. She is basically an F1 celebrity at this point, even though you may not be her favorite driver. What's your favorite motorsport memory with her?
To be honest with you, like, she wasn't a huge know-it-all around racing.
Yeah.
And so she knew I raced as a kid. But she's kind of, we call her grandma, but she's actually my grandpa's sister. But in Thai culture, everyone's your grandma, everyone's your grandpa, you know, everyone's an auntie, whatever it may be. So she knew what I did or whatever and that kind of thing. And as I got into F1 and all her kind of friends kind of said, okay, well, you know, because I carry her surname, Antusin. That's like, my name's Alex Albon Antusin. So she was like, well, you know, okay, getting all this noise around it and whatever. And then she watched Drive to Survive, which was for people that don't watch Formula One, it's such a good way to get introduced them to the sport. And then that's it. Like, she's just, you know, people think about, okay, these people that are hooked from Drive to Survive, they think of teenage girls, yeah, for the most part.
But it's Alex Albon's grandmother.
All ages and all kinds of people that have been hooked from Drive to Survive. So so now that's it. I don't know why Lando Norris. I haven't asked her that question, and I need to dig deeper.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, so she was, she's, my whole family on that side, they do amazing work for charities. And so they do a lot of these conferences around the world, kind of explaining what they do and how they do it. And so she was in Japan on a kind of a summit meeting kind of thing. And she was landing, and she landed at the same time. She wasn't there for Suzuka. She was just there for her own thing. And she arrived and saw Lando at the baggage reclaim area. And
now the selfie is all over the internet.
She gave it a big story about how she was my, I was her grandson and whatnot. But I'm not sure if he believed that story or thought she was crazy. But anyway, she was very kind. She said Lando was super kind and very friendly.
Well, I believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. If I had one wish, it would be to speak every language, but sadly, I've given up hope on that and have turned my full focus to learning French. Ever since my family lived in Paris, I've been on a French learning journey, taking weekly classes, doing tutoring twice a week, listening to French podcasts daily. But the only consistent way I've been able to feel immersed and feel like I'm actually improving each day is with Babbel. It is so easy to integrate into my daily routine, learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been a godsend for me in French. It's developed by over 200 expert linguists, and one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. To join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups, here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/FTG. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FTG, spelled BABBEL.com/FTG. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spring is over, and it's not too late to get yourself an iconic pair of Tecovas cowboy boots before the summer. They are the coolest addition to any outfit and add such a fun flair to literally anything that you're wearing. And with every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, which means that you don't have to break them in. You can just wear them right away. It's truly amazing. And of course, the timeless Western style that is so unique to Tecovas. The boots are made from premium bovine and exotic leathers and can truly last you your entire lifetime. So head on over to your local store. It's the best way to shop. Grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop all of the latest styles. They also offer custom branding and leather stamping if you want to personalize your boots or any of their other leather goods. Tecovas also has beautiful classic straw hats and a gorgeous lineup of rugged and full grain leather bags. And if you can't make it to a store, don't worry, you can shop online. Just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Don't go gently, y'all. Women's health is so important, and balanced hormones are key to that. We've been loving Hormone Harmony, an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages from Happy Mammoth. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, which are science-backed herbal extracts that help your body adapt to stressors like hormonal changes and all the things that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth as a company is so incredible. It's committed to making women's lives easier, and they actually have a whole range of products to help that. Another one that we've been loving is Estro Control, which you take to help support and balance you throughout your entire cycle, and it really helps ease all of those PMS symptoms. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off of your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
So super quick, rapid fire. We're big fans of Lily on the podcast. What Very would good. She say you need to improve about your golf game most?
Okay. I thought about being a better boyfriend or whatever. I was like,
well, golf game. There'll be a few we'll things. Stick to that.
She always says to me, I get frustrated about my level. Yeah. And she always says to me, how can you be frustrated when you don't play enough to be good enough?
Wise words.
So I guess it's managing my expectations of myself.
Yeah.
That's her advice to me.
It's mental.
It's all up here. Golf is all up here. Yeah. Golf is all up here. But yes.
That's so funny. And if you had to be stranded on an island with anyone on the grid, who would it be and why?
Okay. Luckily, I had this question not too long ago, so it's fresh. It would be Valtteri.
I love that answer.
I chose Valtteri because he seems to be slightly on the introverted side. Maybe that's not true. I think he's one of them guys, if you actually know him, he's most probably total chaos. But for the most part, he seems a bit more on the quiet side. That's good. That's important. You don't want to be on it deserted and wanting to be killing the other person on on the island.
You need camaraderie.
There is, exactly. And then the other side to that is I would like another person. So, and I would want a designer. I would want Adrian Newey.
Okay.
So Adrian needs to be on the island with me, and he needs to be designing the boat to get us off. And I reckon it would just...
It'd be very easy for him.
We could be anywhere. We could go anywhere. Just give him a palm tree.
And it's a super yacht.
It's a super yacht. Exactly.
That's incredible. Okay, I think I already know the answer to this one, and I think my answer is the same, but favorite Thai dish?
Oh, okay. My favorite is Pad Krai Pao.
Me too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so good. It's so good. It's like home foods, and I struggle. This sounds very diva of me, but I live in Monaco, and Thai food is impossible to come by, so... I've had to pay the price. I have to drive to Nice, which is like a 30 to 45 minute drive, to get my fix of, like,
you heard it here first,
semi-authentic
Thai food in Nice.
Exactly. But that's it. I've taught the Williams chefs how to make it.
Do they make it for you?
Yeah. So, like, Sunday night after a race, there I am. Just...
Oh, I love that. Okay, and last question, because we're in Montreal. Poutine, yay or nay?
Yes, poutine, big yay. I'm on the heavier side of racing, so I can't weigh more half a kilo more than I already am. Yeah. Unfortunately, my height brings weight, and so poutine was...
not in the diet.
It's not in the diet. It's not in the diet, but I definitely have had it. And we've had already in the 12 hours I've been in Canada, two suggestions from people around good poutine spots.
Okay.
What was it?
Banquise. Yeah, I've been there. It's so good.
Oh, is it? Is it? Okay.
All right, well, Alex, thank you so much. We're wishing you the best of luck this weekend and many more points to come.
Thank you.